have no idea.
Whenever you're ready.
All right. Hello, this is writer-director Christopher R. Mim, the guy who is the namesake of the Mimiverse, of which the Mimiverse Bonfire Podcast is named after. Yes? Yes. I make movies, I write, I direct, I do a bunch of stuff, but I also write bad poetry. And if you've been listening to the last year of podcasts, you should know that. So, in the interest of having a little bit of fun, I wrote a bad poem, but this time it's a haiku. So here it goes. My haiku doesn't have a name, it's just a haiku. Here goes. Monsters are my thing. Giant spider is the next. It eats some people.
You're about to enter into a world where all those classic movie monsters are still alive. A time when scary movies were fun for the whole family. And a place where the only colors you'll find are black, white, and shades of gray. Welcome to the Mimiverse.
Oh, she's the cat's meow.
No crackle noise this time, because we're not outside, guys.
It's cold.
Welcome to another edition of the Mimiverse Bonfire Podcast. I'm your host, Hater. With me, as always, the loving, trusting... I have no idea where I'm going with this.
Where are you going with this?
Ruby.
Do you have something to get off your chest, Mark?
No. I'm not in trouble for anything.
Are you projecting something?
No.
He wants to tell us
a
something
chest
important.
That is much smaller than the last time I saw it. No,
why, thank you, sir.
You're losing the moobs.
Where do you go from there?
We can take that out.
Good night, everybody.
With us, as always, is the namesake.
This guy.
That guy.
The guy with the name, you with the face, and the name.
Christopher R. Mim, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
Babe, why don't you go ahead and introduce all of the gallery that we have with us, starting with our guest.
Wait.
I got to say one thing.
Yes.
The Mimiverse Bonfire Podcast is recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Indeed it is tonight, and it's not going to devolve into some weird old year-end wrap-up or nothing.
Maybe.
As far as you know.
Yeah. Chris
ding
and I have been talking.
I got my phone out.
Yeah.
Put the phone away.
Tori's already here.
I will take the phone.
Mitch?
You know, I have a quick interrupting question.
Go ahead.
Does your audience know where each month's podcast is recorded?
Oh, I haven't actually said that yet.
No, not
thank
always.
You. We are back at our house this month.
Can you give out the address so people can show up?
No.
It's a very, very, very fine house with two cats and a yard.
In the middle of the street.
We were. Today is Friday, October 5th.
Well done, Paul.
And we were originally going to do this outside, but the...
Were we going to introduce the people in the gallery?
No, Mark likes to talk.
I mean, this is still prelude and precursor.
Yes.
I think so.
See,
this is
the thing. We were going to do this outside, but the weather today was too cold and, more importantly, too windy.
And yeah, we will talk about this a little bit because I think it's kind of funny.
As much as I'm looking California, I'm definitely feeling Minnesota.
So, people with us, our studio audience consists of...
I'm not talking about the studio audience yet. The first voice you heard that wasn't one of ours is our friend Doug Sidney, powerfully attractive. He's here. He's here.
Our guest.
He's our guest.
I'm flattered already. Sorry. Thank you. Sorry that guest. I spoke out of turn.
No. Dr. Collins is in the hizzy.
He's in the hizzy. What's up?
Phil Collins, sing us a song.
We have your CDs. Could you sign them for me? Oh, my gosh.
I was thinking that. That's the first song that popped into my head to probably everyone's.
Messy. Good times. Okay. And our...
in the air tonight, right?
Oh, just get it out now. Just get it out. Go.
Go ahead.
Get it out. The Lion Sleeps on Broadway. Go.
Billy, don't you lose my number.
Oh, there it is.
All right.
There's some drums there. We can do the big yes. In the air tonight.
Yeah.
World's most famous drum fill.
It is.
Good times. Our candle tender, who was more than willing to be our fire tender outside. Woo. He was dressed for success. Polly.
Wait a minute. Stop the presses.
What?
There is no Peter Flynn Memorial Lantern.
No, we don't take that inside.
What the hell?
We don't take that inside. We can go get it in the break.
Yeah, it's because it'll stink up the place. Yeah.
No, it will not.
We'll go get it.
Jesus Christ.
And Polly has seen all of the movies?
I think, except for maybe the second one.
Yeah, I don't think you saw the
don't
second
bother.
One in the cinema.
Nice. From the man that'll himself.
Commonly referred to as... The second one.
We don't even say its name anymore.
It's like Voldemort. I said his name.
I think it's fantastic.
I think it's fun.
It's not the worst one. Yeah, it is. But it's not.
The
no,
next
see,
one will be the worst one.
No, yeah.
The giant spider.
Giant spider.
Poop.
No. No,
well, before you go into that, and then there's our peanut gallery, our live peanut gallery, Michael Kaiser.
Bum-bum.
Wait. Give us some Burger Dog.
Eat me.
There we go.
And now you recognize him.
He speaks.
He speaks. And our ever-present guest, Miss Tori Fox. And now you may continue. Miss
Tori. Now she's silent. Yeah. She's
yeah. For once.
Now there's more snapping.
Oh. Tori Box.
Not Tori Box.
Victoria Flox.
How cool is it that on your podcast you have a regular audience member?
We do.
Yeah. That's really cool.
At some now point we'll get two. Maybe three.
Well,
I'm hoping for five before the year end.
We actually decided the reason Tori's here awesome. On a Friday night is because although she's in college and probably someone's having some bitchin' parties, she doesn't drink. And that's not bitchin' anymore. So.
She
that's
needs,
all right. Yeah. That's all right.
Someone.
It's not date okay. night.
You know
what? We'll find you a date.
Hey, if we
Michael and Tori are looking for some hotness. Some sweet,
and
nice
before you
hotness.
Guys say, well, why don't you just put them together? They're polar opposites. That's why.
Yes.
No. The world
you know
would explode.
I was just thinking, if we do get a studio audience for our year-end or our Christmas one, can we have them all sing Christmas songs?
Sure.
Okay. Like the 12 Days
Michael,
of Christmas?
Yes. Michael will write them all.
Actually, we'll make them sing the full 12 Days of Christmas.
Yes.
That's awesome.
And actually, Tori will have a solo. So if you're showing up, you're going to have a solo if you want to be here.
Doug might come back for the Christmas wrap-up.
Yes, maybe.
If asked, yeah. I will be there.
See, Doug's been excited about this. We've been talking about having him as a guest for months.
Oh, my gosh. We're so
but
excited.
But we couldn't figure it out on our end.
No, couldn't figure it out on our end.
What?
Hey, sorry. He talks good.
He made it sound cool. Cool, actually.
Yes,
I was going
good.
With it.
But we finally got her done for this time around, and we are thankful that you are willing to be here with us today.
And so. I am honored. So
yay!
Thank you.
Well, maybe we can that'll be our gift to the ladies for Christmas. The sweet, sultry sounds of Doug Sandy.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, all right.
He is powerfully attractive.
Keep all this coming. Boy.
Let's not forget Pauly. Powerfully attractive man.
Powerfully attractive.
Thank you all. I'm just, so. You know, there's so much... to be in awe of in this room. I'm here, I'm a fly on the wall, you know. I'm like, all right, this is gonna be cool. So you got, you know,
dear
a
God,
lot of expectations to live
speaks.
Up to, you know, because
it's an amazing
fly. I thought it was gonna be cool, so be cool, yo.
I'm
it's his first
thank
fire
you.
Tending experience, and he's
I'm sorry you didn't get
it.
A real fire tending experience. I mean,
that
it's
a comment or a
this
threat?
Time of year, it's kinda, this time of year, it's you know, it's up in the air, you know, because literally. We did one in November
no,
last
year.
Last
year we did one in November
nice.
Outside.
Yeah,
it was,
we did March we were outside.
Yes.
And then in April we were inside.
Well, and it's not all that cold.
It's just too windy.
Well, it's and
you,
fun, here's the funny thing, and I was going to bring this up,
I
is that literally 6 days ago we shot a bunch of stuff for the giant spider, and we did it outside.
At this very house.
And this awesome, at this house and at this cool location in Forest Lake, Minnesota. That's like this awesome old barn and stuff. And we had a motorcycle and stuff. And the thing is, there were box elders everywhere.
We were sweating.
And I was sweating. It was so warm out. It was like 85 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
With like this really blazing sunlight. And then today, I think right now, it's like 35 degrees outside.
Yeah, and it's actually going to flurry
tonight.
Welcome
to Minnesota.
I mean, that's just this, you know, this time of year. You're always sort of up in the air.
And it's interesting, too, because I remember this. You have poignant events that happen in your life, and you remember certain dates. Mm-hmm. I was driving back in a car that I purchased in Dallas, October 3rd of 2010, which was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was...
That was the snowy one.
It was upper 90s in Dallas. It was 100 and something in Oklahoma as I was driving through. I arrived in home here in Minneapolis, and it was 93 during the day, I had heard.
Mm-hmm.
In October 3rd, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So
it was so hot, and then it snowed one time, and then it was like, it was the weirdest winter.
And then that turned into the most brutal winter of my adulthood. Yes.
I think there was snow past my head.
Weird. Not going to talk about the weather.
Let's not.
Yeah.
Don't
worry. We're Minnesotans through and through. And then last year there was like no snow, and I wrote a
we
movie
needed
that
a snowstorm to
snow
save our lives, and we couldn't get one.
Yep.
And Fargo, North
Fargo
Dakota
just
has got
3 inches yesterday.
Snow. That's I tell you.
We filmed Moon Zombies through that awful winter.
Yes, we did.
Oh,
yes,
God. Did. Yeah, the
and
winter
had
everyone
zero
got sick.
Shoot days postponed because of snow.
Because of
16 shoot days postponed because of illness.
Illness.
Zero because of snow.
Nice memory, Doug.
Well done. Good. See, that's why we have you guys on, because you remember stuff. We showed up at Chris's house, which is approximately 7.5 minutes from here.
Yep.
Showed up, we built things, we went home. We showed up, we built things, we went home. We came back 4 days later, ripped it down, built some more stuff. We had a different experience of that movie.
Yeah, that movie toward the end, I was ready to just kill myself. I was so sick of it.
Have you revealed on in newsletter or on podcast what your first act upon wrapping our last scene of our last shoot day was?
For Moon Zombies.
Yes.
I don't know. I think I did. I think when I...
You could do it again.
I think were you there, Mark?
I think I was.
I think it was actually... It was the final night.
It was a 12-hour Saturday.
We did a 12-hour Saturday because we were going to split it up and then just decided, screw it, we have the time, we're all here, let's just get
it
done.
Just bang
it
out tonight. No, I was not there because I was here.
We went
had a party that night.
12 straight hours. 12 straight hours, not that. Last one, when I yelled, cut, I put my fist through one of the walls.
Yes. and let me
because
say for the record,
could.
it was a very productive and I thought went well, a shoot day that went really well.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It was that much that had just, it was, as you said, and you know 9 times over now, a very grueling shoot comparatively.
It really was.
You know,
it was just a lot of stuff, and it was, you know, we had to do all the sets, like you said, we did those sets, and then we were shooting, and it was like these long days and in these really tight quarters, and I think it was just one of those things. It was like I thought of doing it for some damn reason, because we had one of those just sort of false walls sitting in the middle of the room kind of thing, and it was, you know, just that light melamine, so it wasn't too bad. So I was like, you know, I'm going to punch through one of these bastards to accentuate my last cut.
And I remember you and I having a few conversations where you said, boy, This one needs to get done. Man,
I was
when
just,
I am done with this, and sure enough.
I was just ready. I mean, that was a long shoot.
And,
I mean, this one has been two, but it wasn't. The giant spider is by its very nature isn't the same thing. It's like everything we're shooting is like we're here, we're doing all these different locations, different people. Like I keep saying, we barely even touched the main story, you know, because we're doing all this sort of peripheral crap. That we've been doing since July,
mm-hmm.
And we only now really started getting into the main storyline, and so it hasn't felt the same. Whereas Moon Zombies, you get a little stir crazy in those damn white walls every weekend for months.
They're
and months
different,
on
but it's
end.
The same walls. We laid it out differently, but it after a while, it didn't matter how the layout of it was. You're still surrounded by white walls.
Yeah, it's
and,
like,
and you both tell me, even though it, you know same area, every set design was challenging.
Yeah,
it seemed it because
it was
being there, you know, in that space. There was a lot going on, even though it was stark white, you know, and
yeah.
And you're very good with lighting, Chris, so you can do a lot with minimal.
That's all
lighting.
Ruby.
That's actually
not in
her.
Moon Zombies.
Well, Moon Zombies, it
kudos
was us.
To you
we
as
just
well.
We just tape stuff to the ceiling.
That's
but
true.
Yeah, I mean,
we just had to make sure
it was, and every time we did it, because you know, we only had so much space, right? So when we're building these sets, we're like, okay, well, how do we make this stark white room look different than the last stark white room so you can tell, at least give the impression you're in a different room? Because, you know, otherwise it'd be like, ah, that's the same room. So we had to think of things every time. It's like, well, this is the botany bay. Throw a plant in the corner. Yay! Yes. Yeah. You know, or where we place the door or something. It was just little crap like that that was just frustrating.
But, and I was going to ask, I'll make a statement, then I'm going to ask you something. I remember I had so much fun with watching the film, again, that night at the premiere.
Yeah.
And then again with friends and family, because I would always get so excited by saying, okay, look in the corner. That is the rocket that he uses at the beginning of the film. Yep. that is shuttering through space. It's now set dressing in the back, you know, and
yeah,
you know,
found the fun stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's really cool. Or... if you look at that's, you know, that's a cardboard milk crate from a, you know, Schindler's or wherever you purchased it. And they'll look, oh, yeah, you're right. And so all of a sudden, all these different, these neat set things that were there make sense to the audience because they really were that you were making so much out of so little.
Yes, they were cheap pieces of junk that we found and glued to the walls. Yes.
That was the perfect fun part of it, though. We can show you the cat litter buckets that made the tables, if you like.
There you go. Yep. They were cat litter buckets we used for tables. Yep. It worked!
That melamine was seriously versatile. You could do a lot of crap with it.
It
was. And we actually just recently burned the last of the Moon Zombie sets.
Bum, bum, bum.
No, I think there's still one. There's still piece a little left.
Okay, because usually when we do our we had that. We just used cheap furring, you know, 79-cent furring strips behind the walls to
90% of the
hot glue
crap
things, right? To put up the melamine, and when we pulled it all down, we took the melamine and we put it in a dumpster. But that wood, we just sort of threw in my backyard, and we've been burning that during the podcast for the last year.
So fitting.
And yeah, so there's fitting. I think the last bonfire we had, it wasn't a podcast.
It wasn't a podcast.
But it was
bonfire.
Just a bonfire we had. Yeah. We burned the last piece of the set of Terror from Beneath the Earth.
Wow.
Which has just been sitting around forever. Yeah. And we used that stuff, that frame, to make the door frame for Moon Zombies. So we did a lot of recycling.
It was also in Destination, if memory serves, too.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. So it was just 2x4s we had sort of that we bought. Mm-hmm. And we repurposed.
One more item about set decorations.
Go ahead.
I swear to God, the props that you used on that film had a mind of their own because they would never fall off when no one was down there. They would never fall off when we were on a break. They would never fall off while we were rehearsing. They would only fall off when we were rolling.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
There's all in the damn pictures.
It's in the
Shannon's
blooper
bedroom.
Oh boy!
All in the blooper reel. All of a sudden, the painting falls off, yep, or the picture falls off, or
those
the little
funny
set decoration over in the corner fell down. It's like, what the hell?
And I think you used one in the blooper roll, or you let us watch it, or we talked about it all. I'm not sure. Memory doesn't serve, you know, totally correctly. But there was one that it you know, obviously it was during a take, and it disassembled from the wall, but it didn't fall off. And it just swiveled a little, and then it went. So it was like...
That's in the blooper reel.
Yeah.
That's one, yeah.
Yeah.
We couldn't... You know,
is that
it
my communicator?
No. When we did the very first... You know, we did Shannon's Dr. Hackett's bedroom.
Yeah.
Was one of the first sets we did.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we didn't know what to...
I remember
what
it
would work to
it was
hang
the
stuff
knobs
on the walls.
Oh,
it was
so,
the dresser.
Well, and it was the those. Remember, she had those three like photos
flower
of
paintings.
Flowers,
yeah,
that were taken by Angelina Thompson, who did the costumes
Angelina
for us as well.
Yeah.
We used some like that weird double stick.
It's like
goo
Velcro
tape stuff.
Yep.
And we tried that, and it never worked. It wouldn't stick to the melamine.
And there should be a disclaimer on that packaging that says,
seriously,
this
will not work on shiny crap.
Or this tape works fantastically for 22 minutes.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
this works until you
call
action.
A finite lifespan.
Yeah,
yes.
It's not like we were using, you know, proper theater lights that would warm the space up.
So, Ruby, I have a question for you.
Oh, God, what?
What's going on in the Mimiverse?
Oh, my lordy. We just got straight into talking. That's it. He's shutting it down. I quit. Mark quits. Just...
I'm done.
No, it's not 2014.
Oh, then what's going on in the Mimiverse, Chris?
Oh, yeah. Some stuff. Thanks, Doug.
Well,
you
done, Doug.
You just took it and run.
I love this.
Why did we tell him there was a structure?
I mean, nah.
No. That's fine. I... Keep it flowing, man.
No, I actually...
What can I say? I'm excited to be here.
All I can say about it that's going on is, you know, we're making the giant spider. And that's kind of all there really is that's going on.
There's
right
a bunch
now.
Of stuff.
When,
in
there's some. When this comes out, there's a couple screenings coming up, but not many left. For
this
the
will
year.
Get released before we go up to ValleyCon.
That's right. So if you're in Fargo,
so
come
if you're
see
in the Fargo
us.
Area on October 19th through the 21st, come see Chris and Ruby and myself and whoever wants to come up.
And Tori.
Tori will be there. And we will have a screening of House of Ghosts, right?
Or you could go to McGuanago yes. and see Liz and Michael Bum.
Oh, yeah. Kaiser. And so we'll have some panels there. We're going to record those, hopefully, if
not
Tony lets us. I'm sure Tony will let us.
He could care less.
Tony doesn't. Tony loves us.
He's a good guy.
Tony's the main head honcho at ValleyCon. So, and as Ruby was saying in the background, Steph and Michael Kaiser...
Bum.
Are going to be
well. That Steph might be in Fargo. We haven't really worked it out. She might be coming to Fargo, or she might go to McGuanago. We know for a fact that Michael and Liz Kaiser will be in McGuanago for the Jack O' Lantern jaunt. So you can come see the Kaiser siblings and
the
make fun of
power.
their acting prowess.
I love hearing these locations being said aloud because I read them in the newsletter.
You're like, what the hell,
McGuanago? The way that my brain reads them. They are pronounced much differently, so this is nice. And speaking of, I'm gonna interrupt you with
again.
What,
go ahead, go ahead.
No, again.
That's right. He's already got one more thing. Don't you look at that
it's
watch?
Fine.
Don't
it's
you look at that watch?
How do you pronounce your wife's middle name?
Her actual middle name, Marie.
Okay,
no, it's her maiden name.
Her maiden name?
Yes.
Ede.
There it is. Thank you.
Yes.
Ede.
Right. I thought it was Ead.
You're not from Midwest, are you?
Yeah.
I am.
Are you really? Where
I'm
are you from?
From here.
Oh no.
Douglas Sidney.
I am from here.
And Douglas.
Douglas Sidney.
I grew up in Burnsville.
That's all right. Fair that's enough. Not a weird weird one. And what's your middle name? Or what's your middle initial?
My middle initial is J.
You can't be wrong.
Douglas J. We've got to make him an
Jonas?
African baseball player.
Jonas?
Jonah.
My
Shut
middle name
up.
Is always kind of a long list of guesses. So go ahead.
I love it.
Jehoshaphat.
No.
Jeremy.
No.
Jonas.
No.
Jesse.
Nope.
Joel.
Nope.
Joe. Joseph.
Jackie.
Yes. Yes.
Joseph.
Yes.
That's
okay.
Nice.
But see,
that's
it's usually 8, 9, 10, 12, 15 down the line.
Yeah.
Which is weird because
it's not really
a relatively
that uncommon
common
of a name.
No.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Paul.
Yep.
Middle initial.
W.
Oh, Wilver. You can't be a Ronald either.
Walter. Wilson.
Nope. Wilson.
Winston.
Nope.
Winchester.
William.
Yes.
Oh.
Ah, dang it.
Paul William.
You could be a Ronald.
Yay. Tori's an R. Are you an R? You're an R. That's right. Renee, is it? Mm-hmm. I think you said it on the podcast. Yes.
So there's a Christopher R. Mim. There's a Mark R. Hader.
There's a Cherie R. Gallinati.
Cherie
really
R. Gallinati.
Wow.
And then now there's a Tori R. Fox. And then there's Michael Kaiser.
Yep. And and of course, Daniel R. for
Roosevelt,
but really for Ronald Sheboygan, Shervin, Shenane.
Shenane.
What was the other one we made?
Sheboing-boing.
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 He's going to be so mad if he could listen to this.
If he could or if he does. How about that?
Calling out. Ronald J.
Did you say you made out with that guy?
What?
Tori made out with that guy? Or
yeah,
you spent
right.
the day with that guy? She spent the day with that guy.
Oh,
I was going to talk to his wife. I don't know.
So that's it going on in the verse. Check the page.
Yeah, there's just a lot of stuff going on. We're making a movie, and at some point soon, there's going to be some cool news at some point of some cool stuff. Also,
in your area.
Wait.
Check your local.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to reveal something really cool.
Bum, bum.
It's been on the Bonfire podcast page, but I want to tell people this. I posted an image recently. of a poster of an image I made for the Uncle John's Burger Dog for the giant spider. We have a scene that takes place at a drive-in.
I'm not doing that.
Man!
We have a scene that takes place at a drive-in, and we're going to put the posters for the Uncle John's Burger Dog, which of course was a commercial from the early podcast, in the background, so it'll be in the movie.
Fun.
And so I created a poster that we're putting up, and it was cheaper to have 20 of them made than one.
Neat. Limited edition.
So here's the thing. I have about 18 posters, and I'm not going to sell them on the website, but I will sell them to anyone who listens to this and sends me an email.
That's
five
cool.
bucks.
Much.
And autographed.
$5.
I saw it, and now. It's neat. It's well.
It's cool.
Doug got
it's
to see cool. it.
It's pretty cool. Doug got the scoop.
It's pretty.
It's
cool.
Good stuff. So if you want one, let me know.
It is what I would have drawn. Would I have drawn it?
It looks like a dancing piece of poop.
Yep.
In a bun.
In a bun.
It looks like a hamburger.
It could flip to its head.
It's like a baby Ruth in a bun.
With a tagline that Michael is going to give us right now.
Eat me.
Thank you.
There we go. See, he
he'll
needs
do it
to be
for
prompted. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He'll do it for Doug.
Yeah.
It's those eyes.
That's what's going on in the universe, and I don't really have one more thing.
No, you're a liar.
Just right now, you don't.
I got nothing right now.
In
about an hour,
some very
vague
specifics.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you want a Burger Dog poster, there are only 18 left. Well, actually less, no, because Michael got one, so that's 17, and I'm going to keep one and frame it. So there's only 16 of them. If you want them, let me know.
You should number them.
Oh, I should.
Yes, yeah. Number them and sign them.
Awesome.
Yeah, sign
them. All right,
mine.
They're going to be numbered and signed.
Just by you.
On the back. I'll sign the back.
Actually, no, have Michael
unless
do
you
it
want them, unless oh, you tell me specifically.
Have, do, have you and
yeah,
Michael
and I should sign them.
Yes.
That'd be awesome.
I designed the poster, and Michael is the Burger Dog.
He's the Burger Dog.
That'll be worth a lot of money.
Eat him.
And then, yeah, Michael, just write, Michael, eat me, Kaiser.
No. We're editing that
only
out.
You. Only
come
you.
Come on. It needed to be said.
We are editing the hell out of that.
I took it there. Why not?
No.
And also, you can buy the T-shirt. On Zazzle.com.
Yes, we have Zazzle.com. We have our Lambent shirt still.
And they're actually the Burger Dog ones are on the basic white, so they're the cheapest one you can get. They're only $14. So they're the cheapest.
Find a friend, save
one
on shipping.
You can get on there,
but let's not forget the Lambent shirt.
And Lambent shirts.
Right. Does anyone else have one except for me?
I thought your sister stole yours.
Yeah, I stole
so
it.
So you don't actually have one.
No.
Nice.
No, am I the only one that has one?
Yeah, I think.
Yes.
No, I know other people that do. I know that for a fact. I usually get little alerts when people buy specific designs. I don't know who does it, but I get a little thing saying, someone bought one of your designs. I think Jim Norgard might actually have one.
Oh. I thought it was Bob Arnt.
Someone else has one. I know I've sold at least a couple.
And this is Lambent. This is from the...
It's come from our Lambent,
not
steampunk.
It was pre-Commander Lambent. It's just stealing the word Lambent.
Okay.
Doug was also in Lambent Fuse.
No, he wasn't.
No?
I was not.
No. What were you in that I just saw?
Were you in
Harm's Way.
You were in Harm's Way.
Harm's Way.
Problem solving.
Tommy Domino.
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
Which I fucking love that film, by the way. You were
so
phenomenal.
Well, I love
that movie, man. That was...
Thank you.
You're not in Steel Vengeance, are you?
No.
Damn it.
No, that's Jimmy Keebs.
Oh, I don't like independent movies. Because so
I have a Steel
Why
Vengeance
would you?
Poster.
Yeah.
Why would you?
Yeah.
It doesn't have a Hollywood budget. I don't care.
Right.
It's in color.
Color
It's
sucks.
Dead to him. Dead to him.
You know the funny thing about Doug, and it's not even funny. I actually had to look today. You have...
So
almost
funny, huh?
More
not
IMDb
funny, huh?
credits than Mike Cook and Shannon McDonough. You are a busy man.
Wow.
You get a lot of stuff. It says something to your versatility, I think, because it's not just one kind of a thing. A lot of our fellow guests always kind of complain about almost being typecast, whereas you don't seem to have that problem. You seem to get offered a variety of different things.
It's a blessing. It keeps work very challenging and really fun. And it's interesting that you bring that up because, if you find an interest in film and you're able to do film work, which is the case with me, I love it. And I felt very fortunate to be a part of all the projects that I have here in Minneapolis. And, right at the time where I really kind of wanted to try to see if I could do, some different stuff or stuff that, I thought would be really kind of a little bit out there from what I'd done before and challenging for me, I met a group of filmmakers that they took a chance or they saw me for certain things and said, hey, we want you to do this or try and do this. And I sank my teeth into it as best I could. And I had a blast with it, and I ran with it, and it's been great. So,
well, let's back up a sec. Let's go back to when you were a little Douglas,
okay.
Douglas Joseph.
Oh,
for some
boy.
Reason, now I'm Jamaican.
No accents for
yeah, no.
Douglas Joseph.
Douglas Sidney.
No accents anymore, babes.
That's not. I. That's just how I read his name first when I first saw it. Just like EA'd.
Right. It was like when we were upstairs before we were recording. Rube's like, oh, so you're committing. Before she knew he was going to be Commander Lucent.
Yes.
He's like, oh, you're going to be.
Spoiler.
You're going to be. Oh, good point.
Meh. No one listens
to that. Actually, I'm going
to
bleep
anyway.
It. You're going to be Commander Lucent. And she's like, no, you're going to take your name backwards.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's going to be Oogd or whatever. How, what was it?
And then I said Guad.
Guad, yes. Yeah.
Well, and I, you know, at one point I was just going to, sometimes I'll change it up because, like, you know, Elizabeth, when Liz Kaiser was on, you know, we made her be Teba just because H-T-E-B-A, it was just like, I just took chunks of it.
And there was already a Zil.
Right.
In the first.
Yeah. Yeah. So okay. I was thinking of maybe it could just be Sal, you know, it's the last three of Douglas, S-A-L.
Oh,
so
sure.
Sal. Yeah. Then when I finally decided last night, as I always
they
do,
had to get off
that
the plane,
hey, you know what I'm
going to
do? I always do at the last moment. I just thought, you know what? What the hell? I'm going to make him someone different. So you, I guess, have the honor of being the guy with your own name. You're the only one of three people besides, you know, the two principals.
How cool.
Nice. Yeah.
How cool. Plus, I learned a new word tonight, which I always enjoy.
Valuable.
Hey, Doug.
Caxar.
yes.
Actually, I think this is actually a really good story. How did you mentioned sort of getting in with filmmakers and, you know, doing different things. How in particular did you get in with The Verse?
I got into The Verse. I remember that. Now, this is going to go. I don't know if we've ever talked about this or not, but the summer that my first summer giving my little acting thing a go. Way, way back was when you were casting for Monster Phantom Lake.
Super fun.
And I was, I had an audition scheduled with you. And at the same time, I had auditioned for another film, which turned out to be the first feature film that I was able to work in. And I was cast in that. And I had looked ahead and, you know, your shoot dates and their shoot dates coincided almost, you know, weekend for weekend.
Hmm.
And so I didn't even end up auditioning with you, which was a rookie mistake, as I, you know, as I now know, because had I known or been blessed with hindsight, I would have auditioned with you anyway.
Yeah.
Because as it turns out, you continued on to become a very prolific filmmaker. And so I wasn't.
And what happened to the other guy? Where's he?
Oh, now.
I'm just kidding.
He's
he got a lead in that one. He wouldn't have been the lead.
Everyone was a lead monster. Could have avoided the whole
film.
Overlander thing, if you know what I'm saying, Justin.
There is
of course,
no Overlander thing.
That's a joke.
Thing.
We love Justin.
Yes, we do.
A lot.
Justin who?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
Uber just Lander. Kidding, Justin.
Anyway,
love you.
So,
sorry.
No.
There's
no,
a lot of interruption going on
no,
during
it's
these
great.
Things.
We do that a lot, so...
No, it's a really comfy basement. So
he intends to be here
so
for
hours. Then we'll fast forward to the premiere of your second feature.
Which was It Came From Something. Yeah.
Yes. And
It Came From Something or Other.
Something.
I'm stepping into my to recollection as best I can. My girlfriend at the time and I, Emily Fredenberg,
who is famous for
Gorga.
You know, actually, it was a little with Emily. In fact, she tried out to be in It Came From the World as Julianne Saint Marie.
Oh, she auditioned with
she
you.
Auditioned,
okay.
And
okay.
that's how I met her.
Did you have auditions?
We did for the Julianne Saint Marie for It Came From the World. She came in and she tried out, and she was high on the list, but she didn't fit. It wasn't right. You know, she mm-hmm. didn't have the look. She didn't have the thing. And Shannon McDonough of all
nailed it
and got it, but she was one of like three people who stood out that we stayed in touch with. One of the other ones was Brooke Lemke, mm-hmm. who ended up being in Cave Women on Mars with Emily, and then also Billy Joe Cones, who is actually in The Giant Spider.
She's now in the
I've been trying to get her in something for years. And actually,
apparently, almost decades.
Yes, Melissa Dirtsu, who did the cake for us for the House of Ghosts premiere, and is in The Giant Spider as well.
Yes.
So that was actually like, yeah, you should have auditioned. See, that's one of those things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes even you can't mm-hmm. do it, and even you know, you, at least you get to know someone and you meet someone and it comes back to
I learned that yeah. very quickly, but obviously in our case, not quickly enough. And so Emily and I, you asked Emily and I if we would be hosts for your premiere of It Came From Another World at the Heights Theater.
Right, and we should say the thing is we did that one a little differently. We haven't done that since. We only did that right. one time, which is we kind of had you and Emily playing pseudo reporters who were interviewing people as they came in.
Yep.
And we were sort of filming it. Nothing ever came of it. I don't even know where the footage ended up. It was back during the Shadow Creek Studios days. So they,
yep.
when they went under, dark who knows?
The where's days. The footage, Braun?
So yeah, that was
there's no
that was that was an idea.
But so I will say yeah. that Emily and I had a blast doing that. I greatly enjoyed it. For me, it was a great working experience too. Being in a hosting interviewing capacity because there's a lot that goes on. And you know what? The biggest challenge for me was working the microphone back and forth. Okay, I'm talking now, and I'm going to ask you a question, and then I have to remember right away to give the mic
yeah, you know,
over
yeah.
as I'm gesturing.
You just want to keep it for yourself.
Here. And there's some timing and thinking, additional thinking going on involved in that, you know, that you wouldn't really realize. I remember this because I was awful at it. You know? People are talking, and I'm here, and all you're hearing is my breathing into the mic when people are giving their responses, and you know, but it was really fun. I remember it was really hot.
Yes, it was. Really it was the hottest May. One we've done yeah. ever. It's like 100 and some degrees.
And then I, and this might be good if there are actors listening to the podcast.
They are.
I would imagine you can attest to this. I was very persistent with you
because very
I
much
wanted
so.
I wanted to work with you, and so I did the thing, and I'm doing bunny quotes right now. Kept in touch with you, regular, you know, fairly regularly.
Yeah,
hopefully,
yeah.
hopefully it wasn't. You know,
pretty much every time I announced a movie, it was always like, Doug, suddenly you get that email from yeah. Doug. Hey, man, you got any roles for me in this one?
And I, you know what? I wouldn't say that. I would, hey, how's it go? Hey, congrats on you know, rolling into production with your next one. Just wanted to let you know I'm still here.
Still available.
Here in Minneapolis.
Just so you know, I mean,
well, but
love to work with you at some point.
Give him some feedback so that he knows, was he annoying?
No, but that's the thing is that actually, because he would do that, and I've said this many times, enthusiasm goes a long way with me, a lot farther than even sometimes talent. That's not saying you're not talented, but sometimes enthusiasm alone is almost enough.
When done tactfully and professionally.
When done right, exactly. Yeah. Because you want you want enthusiastic people. I mean, when you're in these low-budget movies, you're not getting paid, you need people who want to be there as opposed to people who are just like, I just want to get the hell out of here.
Right.
Well, and all actors are salesmen. And there are some super fucking annoying salesmen out there. Not actors,
and
but
some bad
salesmen.
Ones, too.
Well, and I'm, you know, and I'm thinking
and
of
it's
a,
good
an
to
example
know that
right.
you're not being annoying.
It is good. It is good to know. And, you know, there are the proper channels, I mm-hmm. think. And, of course, this is 100% just my opinion. But you know, a comment on a Facebook thread on a potential writer director's page is a lot different than an email that is consciously composed saying, you know,
or,
this is what I've done and here's a latest update of my resume. I would greatly still like to work with you, you know, rather than a Facebook message that's saying, hey, when are you going to call me? Or, hey, you know,
yeah, really.
Whatever. And again, this is just my opinion. But I think that, you know, the avenues that one chooses also have an impact.
And there's a step up from even just sending a nicely worded email. It's, hey, show up to a screening. Mm-hmm. Even better yet, bring 10 people who buy the DVD. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, some of it is a give and take. You know, I'm, as a filmmaker, I want to help you get your name out there and do it. And that's why, you know, like I do the newsletter and I send out a thing every month. Hey, if you have something going on, let me know. I want to help promote you if I can because you've done so much to help promote me. That's it.
Which is a great
It's like it's a very give and take. It's not mm-hmm. I'm not necessarily here to help you do everything, but at the same time I know you're not there to help me do everything. It's supposed to be a nice equal give and take, you know?
Absolutely.
You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, and when I make $1 million, I don't know you.
Well, yeah. Well, of course.
To be said for you sort of quote unquote bugging me every time I'd make a movie though, and I would sort of get a little nice email from it. I would always be like, ah, damn it, you know, I gotta get Doug in something at some point. And then when it came to Moon Zombies, I was like, I'm putting Doug in this. I don't care. He's going to be in it somewhere. I'm going to write a character, and as I write it, I know Doug's going to play it. That was it.
Isn't that awesome?
That's true. He told me that you were going to be in the film.
And then I worked with you, and I will never work with you again. Yeah. It was horrible. Yes. Every second. What?
Did I show up to set too early every shoot day?
No. No, it's just that one time you were 2 hours late.
Work-related.
Work-related.
Uh-oh.
You could have called. Dish. You got the... You know, I didn't say... I didn't want to say anything. There was an incident. I guess we'll call it an incident. Where Doug did... We were supposed to start at time and he didn't show up. It was like 2 hours late and we were just sort of sitting around. And I was kind of like, well, you know what? I'm not paying the guy. So if he's, as long as he shows up and we get it done, I'm not going to complain just because I know he's doing me the favor. And if it's a job, I'm not going to be like, you ass.
But Shannon was not happy, was she? Actors were sitting around.
She was upset. And, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, blatantly cover my ass. But since we're talking about it, I got stuck at work. Was unable to call
paid work
the instant that okay. I was released from work and booked up and felt terrible.
At least she didn't have to do her hair for that one.
She was ready to knock me out and wring my neck. And of course, on that shoot day, that's the day when we had two kisses, two kissing scenes, two loving, embracing, you know, it's fiance and, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend becoming in. You remember that?
Yes. And the funny thing is Robert Salinga, Robert was there.
Robert.
And him being just Mr. European laid back, he's like, who cares? We will get it done when we get it done. I brought wine. We are all right.
This is the second podcast in a row where you break.
Yeah, well, that guy's there. A trip. And that was it. I mean, it's kind of like, well, for me, it was a plus. I was like, well, it's at my house. It's not like I'm like, you know, renting space where I'm just like, damn it, you're wasting my money, Sydney. I was like, well, we'll just watch TV, I guess.
To this day, I feel awful about it.
But again, it was like you were doing paid work to come do free work for me. So I didn't want to complain. But, you know.
Well, you kept a fantastic perspective on it through its entirety, and I remain grateful.
Anyone who's worked with me knows I just want to get the movie in the can.
Yeah,
that is whenever true. We do it. I mean, I'm always in this like so I hate antsy. This time of year when we're shooting and there's still like a month left. It's like I just want to get it all in the can, and then I don't have to talk to anybody. It's no longer in anyone else's hands but mine.
Since Chris brought it up and we were talking about it before. We've mentioned on the podcast before that the shoot for Attack of the Moon Zombies went into February, almost Valentine's Day.
It was supposed to go to Valentine's Day, but it went to the 12th. Because that's when we pushed forward to get that one.
Yep. Since Attack of the Moon Zombies, Mim has specifically said, we are done. House of Ghosts was done before New Year's. Yeah. As it sits right now, fingers crossed, Giant Spider will be done before December 1st.
Done before Thanksgiving.
Before Thanksgiving.
You're right. I forgot.
If we can pull it off. We got to stay on schedule.
There's no getting
sick.
It's because of Attack of the Moon Zombies, because we went so long into the next year.
Right.
He went through like a massive burnout phase, and you've talked about
it. Yeah, it's just, it was, pushing it that much.
We
was
went
just
five
like,
months of shooting from September to February, and it was just grueling, and we were all feeling it.
And there was in my opinion, a very extenuating circumstance. One of, you know, an integral cast member. There are no non-integral cast members, of course, but there was one of the actors became very sick.
Yeah,
we're all very concerned.
We talked about that.
Okay, there's nothing.
Yeah,
that can be done.
The Mimiverse virus that ripped through the production. Yeah. Starting, I think I started it. I really.
Yeah,
do.
You did actually.
Patient from, zero.
And that's what happens when you have a bunch of little kids in preschool
say, we have kids at home
and stuff.
We did not have that go for the House of Ghosts.
No, we got it before the big flu season started. So
what flu season? It never snowed yet last year.
But that was it. I mean, people got sick and stuff got shuffled around, but we got it done. I learned very quickly that, especially when you have big stuff like that that has special effects, it has a lot of stuff going on for it. You just can't. You know, you need the time because I was, and that was the thing that drove me nuts and why I got so burnt out with Moon Zombies in particular is like, yeah, we had that big 12-hour day. And I was like, oh, yeah. And everyone was so excited and everybody went home. And I'm like, yay, I have 3 straight months of work ahead of me to finish this bastard before the premiere. And I wasn't even 3, it was like 2. I had 2 months to get it done completely. And that meant DVD. I mean, that was the one I actually broke on stress hives.
Yeah.
Because I was doing a convention in Lincoln on tax day, right? Yes. April 15th. And I had to have the DVD Ruby's done
pictures,
and authored and in the hands of the replicator before I left for Lincoln, okay? And I was doing, this is the first time I did the Esperanto audio track, right? And I did nothing but Esperanto stuff for 2 weeks straight. And it takes a long time. It takes a lot to do all that. And that was back before the Esperanto group and I sort of worked out the best way to do it. So, like, none of the audio matches up, you know, whereas with House of Ghosts, it's almost perfect because they match syllables this time. Sure. So it, you know, I don't know if it's even close script-wise, but... So I was, like, killing myself, and I literally started breaking out in stress hives trying to finish this damn thing. And that's the only time it's ever happened to me.
I can personally attest to the mad schedule you were on. I was working a couple closing nights, you know, in my regular gig where I was getting out of work at 3 a.m. on those nights. And I realized that's the best time to text Mim coordinate with him.
That's
because
absolutely
he's
correct.
Firing right back at 3:20, 3:45 in the morning.
Yeah.
You know? And a couple times I was like, what, you know, I wasn't trying to pry, but hey, what's up? What are you doing? Editing.
Pretty much.
Scoring. Yeah. You know?
Pretty much. I do everything late in the night. And, well, so that was the funny thing is I went off and I got it off, right? I got it. I put it in the mail on the 14th. I was like, oh, good. Now I can go to Lincoln. I was a guest at this convention. And then that morning, we all get up and I was bringing, you know, the wife and kids and everyone, were going down to Lincoln. And as I'm taking a shower, suddenly the wife comes running into the bathroom and she's like, and I'm like, what's wrong? She's like, okay, so I don't know what happened, but one of our sons who's I don't like saying their names too much, especially with, you know, they don't know him, but one of our little guys, he's like, four, he's bleeding profusely from the eye. One of the other kids threw something at him, and I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, I don't know, but it's bad. I was like, oh my God. So we had to go. We're supposed to be driving to Lincoln, Nebraska, and we're in the emergency room as he's getting stitches.
Oof. Yikers.
And the thing is like, you know those like slap bracelet things?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? They're actually made out of old...
measuring
tapes. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're fabric-covered measuring tape, right?
The fabric had frayed. In many ways, yeah.
And, you know, like, one of the other kids just casually tossed it at him. It wasn't even, like, and you know, malicious. And it was just enough, and it just caught him just right, and it was, like, the world's worst paper cut on his eyebrow.
Wow.
Aww,
and so he needed stitches, and I called the convention, I remember, and they're like, is everything fine? Okay. I mean, is he all right? I'm like, yeah, he's fine. We're not going to be there when we thought we'd be there. And like, well, just get here when you can. Don't worry about it. But that was a crazy-ass week. Mm. And then it was like a nice... Actually, that month, though, was really nice leading up to the premiere because I didn't do anything movie-related.
Yeah, how? Good.
It was like the 1 month in the last 7 years that I took a month off. Because I was like, I'm not doing anything.
Nice. Yes. You want the camera?
No.
I'm giving it to you.
Clock noises. You can just say my name. I already
now
said
might be a time to take
photos.
A break before we get into the actual Doug Sidney interview. Since we've been going for an hour and
no,
some.
Actually not
really.
But we can stop actually because
you'll take five.
Because I'm sure
I would like something to drink.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Stay.
One
tuned.
More thing. No, just kidding.
Ah, nice.
Oh my gosh.
Stay tuned. We'll be back in part two.
Are we going to do it now, or now? You want your favorite part? Have we done it yet? Oh, we should just put it in now. Okay, we'll put it in now.
Previously on Commander Lambert Space Explorer. In space! After surviving mutants, monsters, missiles, and magma, Commander Lambent and his dutiful sidekick, Ruby, found themselves in an alien forest filled with poisonous greenery. Unaware of its lethal nature, Ruby, always the curious youngster, touched one of the plants and was instantly stricken by a slow-moving but deadly venom. To make matters worse, our heroes were ambushed in quick succession by three bounty hunters, all of whom seemed more interested in feuding amongst themselves as they took turns assassinating each other. Luckily, bounty hunter Nonas, the second mercenary to appear, administered an antidote to save young Ruby's life. However, the act was not one of compassion, rather of pure unadulterated greed, for, as the unlikely Florence Nightingale explained, though Commander Lamin and his sidekick were wanted dead or alive, Commander Lamin's nemesis, Evil Space King Kaxor, preferred heard them still breathing and was willing to pay more to get it. Unfortunately, no good deed goes unpunished as Bounty Hunter Nonas was summarily executed by Captain Nad, a space pirate of questionable character but unimpeachable honor. We return to the action as Captain Nad demonstrates his commitment to honor by offering Commander Lamina Sporting an honorable chance to escape.
Since you brought up the concept of honor, I must honor my code as a space pirate and bounty hunter. I did not capture you honorably. Instead, I, in essence, stole you from another honorable bounty hunter, the late bounty hunter known as.
May she rest in peace.
Here's the deal. To make this a little more sporting, a little more honorable, I will give you a 15-second head start.
A 15-second start?
13 seconds.
What?
11, 10...
Run, Ruby! Into the forest!
Dear God!
8...
No!
7...
Run!
We're gonna die!
Don't just stand there screaming, Ruby. Run! Run like you're being chased by the klepstinkle beast of Relnak Prime!
I'm running! Oh my gosh! This is so hard! How do you effectively run through a forest filled with trees so deadly that a single touch of one leaf will poison and kill you? I mean, this is insane! What kind of all-knowing, all-powerful deity would come up with a tree that literally kills people with one touch? What mean and angry god thought this was a good idea? How in gosh darn flippity-floppity heck?
Ruby, I realize you're frightened beyond the capacity for rational thought, but there is never an excuse for such language. Besides, maybe if you talked less, you'd be able to focus more on the task at hand. That of trying to run away and not touch the deadly trees.
Sorry, Commander. Trying to focus and failing miserably.
You are forgiven, Ruby. In the future, when confronted by perilous situations such as this, it is a good idea to try to remember your Lambeteer training.
Really? Does that help?
It sure does. Ruby, what was the first and most important rule of every space explorer?
And space explorer in training.
And space explorer in training must remember.
Above all things, a Lamateer's prime directive is to preserve and protect life at all costs. What was that?
Sounded like a massive explosion.
Oh no! Are evil Space King Kaxar's rocket ships back? Are they shooting at us again?
I do not see them.
Then where did that explosion come from?
I see it. Look, Ruby, back toward the clearing in which we were just standing with Captain Nad.
By Flargon's ghost, the clearing, it's gone.
Completely wiped off the map by some massively powerful weapon of some kind. In fact, it sounded vaguely similar to the standard weapons found on a space explorer's rocket.
Does that mean we're finally being saved? Good old Space Explorer Command! I knew we could count on you in a pinch. Wait, if the clearing is gone, wasn't Captain Nad still standing in that clearing?
I do believe he was, Ruby. I do believe he was.
That means we're safe! Captain Nad is gone and we can go to our rocket ship and get off this crazy planet and go home! Yippee!
But wait, what caused the explosion that killed Captain Nad? If it was from the weapons found on a standard Space Explorer rocket, we must investigate.
Nope. No way, Commander. We are not looking this gift horse in the mouth. Captain Nad is dead, and we are free to go back to our rocket ship and get off this crazy planet and go home. End of story.
Ruby, we must investigate. It is our duty to investigate.
No! We're going back to our rocket ship, and that is final!
Ruby, what is my rank?
What?
I ask you again, Junior Lambeteer, what is my rank?
Commander?
And what is yours?
Junior Lambeteer, Space Explorer in Training, Beta Class.
And does a Junior Lambeteer, Space Explorer in Training, Beta Class outrank a Commander?
No.
Then we will investigate. That is an order. Do I make myself clear?
Yes, Commander.
Good. Now, we investigate!
With Ruby sufficiently put in her place, Commander Lam and his plucky sidekick carefully make their way back to the clearing, or should I say smoking crater, where space pirate slash bounty hunter Captain Nad stood mere minutes prior. What they find is nothing but, well, a smoking crater. As the heroic pair stand on the edge of the scorched hole, Ruby provides her thoughts.
Wow, that is one big smoking crater.
It sure is, Ruby. It sure is.
Huh. Commander?
Yes, Ruby?
Why does everything suddenly look all shimmery and sparkly?
Excuse me?
It's a really weird feeling. It's all glittery, and it's kind of like I'm disappearing.
Like you're disappearing? Ruby! Ruby! Where did you go? You did just completely disappear in the strange flash of shimmering light. Ruby, wait a minute. By Oxwerg's chariot, I'm suddenly seeing stars. Odd, swirling, star-like shapes peeking and poking into and out of existence. What is happening?
Commander, are you okay? You just materialized right next to me and then fell on the floor.
Ruby, what? What happened?
Have no fear, Commander. You're finally safe.
Commander Lucent, are you a sight for sore eyes?
Commander Lucent, my old friend, I'm guessing we have you to thank for dispatching Captain Ned.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for saving us. Boy, am I glad to be off that planet and back on a fellow Space Explorer's rocket. But how did we get aboard your ship?
Transferoray.
Transferoray? Why, I've never heard of such a thing. What is it?
It's a little piece of technology I picked up during my adventures. It allows me to transport people and inanimate objects great distances using only a beam of energy. No need to even land.
Sounds useful.
It sure is, little Lambenteer. It sure is. And it's the only one of its kind.
Then it's a prototype? How did you get so lucky to get it installed on your rocket? Especially considering your past disagreements with Space Explorer Command.
Oh, I wouldn't call it luck, exactly.
What do you mean?
Let's just say I wasn't exactly given the technology so much as I borrowed it. Indefinitely.
Which is a nice way of saying you stole it.
Yes. Yes, I did.
Dear God, no!
Commander Lucent, how dare you sully your uniform with such a brazen crime? I demand you relinquish your command at once and turn yourself over to me. And once you do, I will personally transport you to Space Explorer Command and see that you are granted a full and fair trial.
I don't think so, Commander Lambent.
Oh no! He has a ray gun! And it's pointed at us!
Don't worry, Ruby. I am also armed. Wait, no, I'm not. My ray gun was back in the clearing.
You mean the clearing on that awful planet that's now a big smoking hole in the ground?
Yes, that one.
All right, you two. Reach for the sky.
We're reaching, we're reaching!
Why, Lucent? Why would you steal from Space Explorer Command? I know you and Space Explorer Command haven't always seen eye to eye, but I never took you for a thief. Or a traitor.
I am not a traitor, Lambent. I am a patriot. Do you have any idea how corrupt Space Explorer Command really is? If you knew half of the things they don't tell us, you'd be on my side.
Never, Lucent. Never. I took an oath. You took an oath.
Yes, I took an oath. I swore fealty to an organization that, on the outside, seems like a shining beacon of hope in a turbulent universe, but on the inside is rotten to the core. Well, what's the point of blind loyalty to falsehoods and corruption? There isn't one!
Space Explorer Command is not corrupt simply because they don't agree with your ideas. Lucent, listen to yourself. You sound like a raving madman.
Yes, perhaps to someone as brainwashed as you I do. But that's neither here nor there. Since I am no longer employed by Space Explorer Command, I need money to survive.
Oh man, is that why you transported us to your rocket? Are you gonna sell us to evil Space King Kaxor for ransom money?
You're very receptive, Ruby.
And then what? You sell us to evil Space King Kaxor and then what?
Then I raise myself a little army and, using the power of my shiny new transfer array, I transfer array my soldiers into the heart of Space Explorer Command and literally destroy it from within. And, once the members of the Governing Council are dead, I will install myself as the new leader and remake the Space Explorer Corps in my own image.
That can't be good.
No, Ruby, it cannot.
Now, turn around slowly and start walking.
Walking? Where? Through that door in the back of the room?
Lucent, you can't be considering what I think you're considering.
Yes, Commander. It's a long flight to evil space King Kaxor's palace, and I can't risk having you plotting to stop me.
Commander Lambent, what's he planning? What's through that door? And why do we need to go in there?
Ruby, that's a suspended animation chamber.
Suspended animation? What's that?
Suspended animation is defined as a temporary cessation of the vital functions. In this case, by using the chamber ahead to, in essence, freeze us.
Wait, he's gonna freeze us?
Yes, I am going to freeze you until I can safely turn you over to Evil Space King Kaxor and collect my reward money.
But I don't want to be frozen.
Ruby, it's all right. I will think of something.
But I do not want to be frozen like some weird lambeteersicle.
Ruby, you must stay calm.
Can't panicking going to scream.
As Commander Lem and Ruby are led at gunpoint toward the Rogue Space Explorer's high-tech meat locker, the situation appears grim. Will Space Explorer Command fall to the cold-hearted schemes of one of its own, or will our heroes avoid becoming human ice cubes and put traitorous Commander Lucent's dastardly plan in the deep freeze? Will they stop him? Can they stop him? Tune in next time to Commander Lem and Space Explorer in space to find out.